The sun is out over Fringe Central, although there's thunderstorms on the way. The sound of staplers, which is the sound of... My God, that's a lot of four-star reviews there. There's 16 stars on these flyers for a show called Crybabies Danger Brigade. Tell us about it and tell us who you are.
So we're Crybabies. We're a kind of sketch group who make like long-form narrative sketch shows. And this is our first hour called Danger Brigade, and it's like a World War II action-adventure, surreal comedy nonsense hour. And it's got songs and dances and fun and games and silliness ahoy, really.
I'll just get your names. You are?
I'm Ed.
And I just need your full names, if that's all right.
I'm Ed Jones.
Yep.
I'm Michael Clark.
James Galt.
So tell us a bit more about long form for people that don't know what that means.
So I think whereas some sketch shows kind of just short little bursts of gags, like we like to kind of stack up our sketches. So things that are kind of at first appear, kind of throwaway gags, eventually at some point in the show become a lot more important. So we kind of like to keep our audience sort of, guessing a little bit and seeing like the little details which may eventually become something a lot bigger.
How do you create your material?
We meet in various sort of cafes in London. One of us will order the cheapest hot drink on the menu. I don't know if they have menu. And then
that's probably hot water.
Yeah, hot water. We'll get a cup of hot water, three boiling waters, and then we just sort of sit around afternoon and keep talking until our ideas aren't rubbish. It's pretty much that. Really just the three of us, we sort of meet and sort of develop it. I mean, we had this sort of idea for the show quite well, but then it was basically a way of, we had sort of like three or four different ideas for kind of, well, they weren't really sketches, they're ideas for kind of like characters or little kinds of stories. So like, okay, let's, how can we bring these all together in a world where they all feel like they fit together? And that was basically the writing process, was just trying to make these characters and these gags and these work and all belong in this world together, really.
So can you describe a typical rehearsal?
Typical rehearsal would be going to a basement of a pub we called the Seckford, run by our friend Harry Smith. We would go in there, and we would go in there in the morning, I wouldn't see sunlight, and just keep going over stuff until they were funny. We would try bits out we've written, we would add bits in which we found funny on the day, and a lot of the time it's just seeing if any of this is feasible.
I love the term I've heard a lot up here, creative conflict, that you also have to be able to disagree. You're not always just agreeing on everything, are you?
True, it's quite handy having three people in a group, because then there's always a casting vote. So if there's a two-hander, it's like, oh, I think this, and it's like, well, we don't know who's right. But then there's a third person, they can go, I agree with him. And then we go, all right, cool, let's do that idea. And we try it out in the night, and if it's funny, we keep it. And if it's not funny, we throw it in the bin and never speak of it again.
So this is democracy?
In the loosest sense of the word, yeah. Okay, yes.
What you mean, like Boris Johnson describes it?
Exactly, yeah. We think we've got a sense of control, but actually it's completely out of our hands.
When you actually start to arrive at Edinburgh then, I mean, is that script pretty much finished, or are you still working on it?
No, well, actually, literally before you just got here, we were thinking about cutting little bits, because now, especially at this stage in the Fringe, it's really nice to see, because we've had a lot of fun with the show, but yeah, and then you start to realise, oh, the slight little bits, you know. I mean, to be honest, once we got here, it was pretty much finished, the show, so that. But then still, you can find just ever so little lines of, oh, that bit can be shorter, that bit can be tighter. I think it's nice to never properly just sort of assume things finished. You should always just try and make something as good as it can be.
Yeah.
And it keeps it fresh for you, and you feel like, you know, you're at least you're still engaging that creativity with the piece and not just, like, leaving it. But, yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
Now, obviously, stars, as you staple them here on posters and flyers, are useful. You can celebrate immediate, you know, feedback and hopefully sell more tickets. But you've got quotes there too. The reviews are longer. Do you think reviewers are a bunch of arseholes, or do you actually listen to the feedback, and does it ever impact on you?
Yeah, exactly. Four stars and up, we'll listen to it. Anything else, we will, yeah.
But do you read them and say, well, they may be right on that, or do you have a barrier up?
I think it's tricky, isn't it? Because everyone has their different opinions. Like we had one really nice one when we first got here where one of the reviewers kind of managed to be quite eloquent and express all the things that we were hoping that people would get. And in a way, that was really nice, because it was sort of like, oh, okay, so we're kind of in sync with people who are watching it. But I mean, a lot of the time, sometimes reviews just sort of say just like what happens in the show, and that's fine. But I think, to be honest, like, they're you've got to acknowledge that they are like a useful, like they're just part of the fringe beast, really, aren't they? And you can try and use them any way you can, but it's, yeah, I think you've got to have some element of distance from it as well, and just be like, we're just going to keep doing the show regardless of how many little characters on a piece of paper it has.
What are the ingredients of a sketch that really nails it?
Ingredients of a sketch really nails it. Things that are funny, really. Set up, punchlines, characters, setting, all of that. That'll help out. I think so, yeah.
And so, what's the next show coming up? Have you already thought about that? I mean, I'm not asking you to reveal your secrets, but here with this show, are you already thinking about the next thing?
Yes, yeah. I mean, we've been thinking about the next thing probably for an unhealthy long amount of time. But, we've been thinking about the next show. I think what we've enjoyed a lot with this show is we definitely want to keep the whole idea of a sketch show that has a real kind of narrative and story that runs through it, and characters that have arcs, so they're not just two-dimensional, like, joke machines. It's like actual sort of... I mean, it's certainly absurdist, the kind of stuff we do. So, like, you know, they're strange sort of people, but also with one foot grounded in reality so that the audience can empathise with them. So we want to, like, carry that through to the next show. And I think, yeah, it's about just finding what kind of world you want to set it in, which we can then kind of skew. Because obviously this is set in a kind of World War II thing, so it's kind of working out. So we've got ideas for kind of gags and little bits and the beginning, like, embers of, like, ideas for characters and things. But then it's working out what kind of backdrop we want to set that against. And, yeah, that's the kind of discussions we're having at the moment. But, yeah.
Okay, and final question to each of you. And to do it, I need you to think of a number between 9 and 16. Okay, first you?
13.
Okay, so the 13-year-old version of you that you remember comes to see the show and comes up to you afterwards. What do they say to you?
Put some clothes on.
A bit more than that. Are they impressed? Are they shocked that this is what you've become?
I think... we're in the basement of a Brazilian restaurant at 4 p.m. And I think 13-year-old me would probably be like, okay, so this is it. But I then think, I think you'd have a good laugh.
Okay. Your number?
Give me 8.
Okay, and I'm also revealing to the 8-year-old that you're eating something out of a Greg's, the baker's bag here.
So what does the 8-year-old think of that? He'd be like, yeah, amazing, Greg's is awesome.
and you doing this?
He'd be very, I think he'd be like, yeah, that's amazing. That's what I set out to do that, and now I'm doing it.
So two really impressed here. How about you?
It was between 1 and 16.
Well, you have 9 and 98 now.
9 and 98? Oh, it's 98?
Okay, so the 98-year-old version of you draws his last breath and looks back over his career as a sketch comedy performer right up till you retired at 97, when the dementia kicked in really suddenly. Yeah. What, is he satisfied over the life that he lived?
Do you know what? I think it's actually, I can see myself being really, probably quite sad and unhappy at that age. I'll probably think, like, this would have gone really well, but I've been like, I wish I'd just spent more time with my family. Yeah. But, you know, that's not a reflection on the show. If anything, it means the show's better, because I really have neglected my loved ones in the last few weeks.
Yeah, so you did what you loved.
Yeah, did what I loved.
But no one loved you for doing it.
No one loved me for doing it. You know, you substitute the love of actual people for strangers. But, hey, we got those 4 stars.
The fly looks like good dark comedy. I love the word, sketch comedy that goes into the areas that other people play it too safe. So this is one with good reviews, and it's called Crybabies Danger Brigade. Thanks for talking to Fringe Review.
No worries.